Now let's open our Bibles again to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. And let me just give you one verse to think about. One verse for us to look carefully at this morning. 1 Timothy 2 verse 5. There's one God and one mediator between God and men, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. Now, there's not a subject of greater importance to you and to me than this one which I have chosen for our message this morning, the one mediator, Christ Jesus. Now, the word mediator, it's not a word we use very often, but the word mediator as applied to the Lord Jesus Christ signifies two or three things. Number one, that it's his responsibility and his office and his work to reconcile two parties that are at war and disagreement. Total disagreement. Total all-out war. And I'm talking about God and men. God is angry with the wicked. Contrary to what so many people are saying and preaching, smile, God loves you. Now, my friends, and I don't mean to be fanatical or radical or an alarmist or sound sour notes, but he that believeth not on the Son, the wrath of God abideth on him, the Scripture said. The Scripture says God hateth the workers of iniquity. The Word of God says that God's angry with the wicked every day. The Word of God declares that this world, and the world, not the trees and the mountains and the rivers and the valleys, but the creatures, the people of this world, are under the judgment of God. Is that not right? And somebody coined a little silly phrase years ago, and preachers picked it up and ran wild with it. Well, God loves the sinner and hates his sin. Now, wait a minute. You hold on a minute. Without the sinner, there wouldn't be any sin. Do you understand that? What is sin? Sin is not something out there that you can touch or put your hand on or something that exists that God hates. Sin is our invention. Sin is our product. This is what we produce is sin because we have a sinful nature. The Word of God doesn't say that the carnal mind is at enmity with God. It said it is enmity. The mind itself is enmity. The heart itself is deceitful. Your heart and your heart is you. And my heart is me. This body's not me. This body's going to die like we preached Sammy's funeral yesterday. But Sammy wasn't in that casket. His body, his house was there. He's gone. His heart and soul is gone to be with God. And if the heart is enmity and the mind is enmity and the heart is deceitful, that's you. Is that clear? And a mediator has been chosen to reconcile two that are extreme opposites. God in his extreme holiness, light, and life, and man in his extreme depravity, corruption, and evil. We're not one with God. Your sins have separated you and your God. There's a breach and a gulf between you that you cannot cross. And God will not and cannot in his holiness cross. That's what a mediator is. And secondly, a mediator signifies a person who's in the middle. He's between the two. A mediator is between the two. And this mediator has the good and the well-being of both parties. Now, this is a tremendous, marvelous thing that cannot be comprehended. by the human mind apart from a revelation from God. Jesus Christ, our mediator, has God's glory at heart, God's good at heart, God's well-being at heart. He'll not compromise anything about God in fulfilling His work. But He has your good at heart. He is man as if He were not God. He is so identified with us, so one with us, and so has our good that He will not quit till He accomplishes it. And He is so much God as if He were not man at all and has God's extreme, ultimate, eternal glory about which John was praying that just floods me when I think about it. He has got glory, that infinite glory of His justice and wisdom and holiness at heart that He will not cease till He has accomplished that, John. And He'll not accomplish one at the expense of the other. Now, you figure that out. You better figure it out. If you can't figure it out, you better read and find out how God's figured it out, because we're going to be held accountable. God's appointed a day in which He's going to judge this whole blooming world by one man, Jesus Christ. Now, face it. Get acquainted with it. I get so weary. Not here. This is a delight to preach here. But I preach funerals and other things and look into the faces of people and tell them about Christ, and they turn their heads and look at the floor. One day you'll look in His face. One day. You'll deal with Him one day, and He'll deal with you. And you're going to look straight, too. And He's going to look straight. Now, you can turn your head away from me. You can despise what I'm saying. You can ignore what I'm saying. But you won't ignore it when He speaks. And God's going to judge this world by one man. Not by one denomination, not by one legalistic moral principle, but by one man, Jesus Christ. Get it? One man. And here's the thing that makes this subject so great and so meaty is that word one. If there's one well, we better all go there. If there's one storm shelter and the storm comes, we all better make it to the storm. One, not two, one. If there's one bomb shelter, we better get there or we're destroyed. There's one. And look at this. Verse 5. There's one God. You know that? I know that. There's one God. The Lord our God is one God. He said, there's no God beside me. You got no choice. I know all the different denominations are making up their gods and their ideas. Well, I'll tell you what I think. Well, your thoughts are not His thoughts. And the only way we're going to know this one God is for Him to reveal Himself. He's immortal and invisible, dwelling in a life to which no man can approach. If there's any revelation of God, it'll come from above. It won't come from down here. You listen to men and what they think, and the preachers, what they think about God, and then disregard it. Find out what He says. That's right. There's one God. All right, watch this now. And men, God and men are of one blood. He hath made all men of one blood. Isn't that what He said? That's not talking about the blood of Christ. That's the blood of Adam. There is no difference. I know we like to think there's a difference. We've got people up here, they're eminent and important and influential and powerful. We got some folks down here that we wouldn't even stop to speak to, let alone greet or converse with, but you're all one. You came from one root, one blood, one father, one fountain, and it's a rotten, polluted, corrupted, depraved, wicked fountain. You may have finer clothes than the man down the street, but you just like him underneath those clothes. And you may have more smarts up here, but I tell you this, your heart's just black as his. That's right. Just absolutely right. One root, one father, one fall, one condition, one nature, one destination, eternal hell. That's us. And one God. And there's one nature of men. But now watch this. There's one mediator. Now, do you realize what that means when God says there's one mediator. There's one mediator, one reconciler, one atoner. Well, let me tell you, my friends, in solemn terms, while I tell myself, I better hear me. The Scripture says, covet not to be teachers. Well, I thought God wanted everybody to be a teacher. No, covet not to be teachers. We have the greater responsibility. That's right. I recognize that. So let me tell myself and you in solemn terms what it means not to know, not to receive, not to believe, and to reject this one mediator. Now, this is what it means, number one. This mediator is the sole judge. The sole judge in those great matters of righteousness, of sanctification, of sin, and of judgment. He's the sole voice. You talk about a dictator. But that's what the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's King of kings and Lord of lords. And he's the sole judge. Jesus Christ is ordained by the Heavenly Father as the only mediator, the only judge, and the final voice on the destination and destiny of every son of Adam. Did you know that? What happens to that little girl out there is totally, completely in the hands of him for whom it was designed, decreed, and who purchased it by his death. His right to do with his own what he will. Can you take that? He said, the Son quickeneth whom he will. He said, the Father judgeth no man. He hath committed all judgment to the Son. He prayed, Father, thou hast given me all authority over all flesh that I should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. This mediator is the sole judge. There's no jury, there's no hearing. It's him with whom we have to do. It's Christ. Secondly, this mediator, if he's not heard, now listen to this, if he's not heard, the Scripture says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry. Well, if he gets angry, the Father may take me in. Oh, no. No, the Father hath given all things into the hands of the Son. That's what I'm saying. It's kiss the Son. If he's not heard, and he's not loved, and he's not obeyed, the Scripture said, if any man love not the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema, maranatha, accursed when Jesus comes. If he's not heard, loved, and obeyed, he will leave the offending person to the severity of the law and justice. That's what he's turned you over. That's the only alternative. Cecil just turns you over the law. If he's not heard. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son, the wrath of God. There's no middle ground. The world thinks that somehow that everybody's in this neutral zone. You know that? They're in this neutral zone and they're trying to decide whether they want to go to heaven or hell. But there is no neutral zone. It's in Christ or in Adam. It's under God's love or under God's wrath. And I tell you where God's love is. It's in the same place it was in the days of the flood. It's in the ark. And the ark's Christ. He said, if we sin willfully after coming to a knowledge of this enlightened way, this Christ, if we turn from Christ back to the beggarly elements, there is no sacrifice for sin. But a certain, fearful looking for of judgment. That's what it said. Certain. If it's not Christ, it's judgment. That's the seriousness of this one business. One God. Who is he? I can't be wrong on this now. One nature. What is it? One mediator. He's not heard, loved, obeyed. He leaves the offending party to the severity of the law. And do you not hear the law? Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things. This is what destroys this. People say, well, I'm a pretty good person. That's not good enough. Well, I'm not the worst fellow in the world. Well, that's too bad. Neither are you the best. And to offend in one point is to be guilty of the whole law. A man doesn't have to be guilty of every crime known to man to be in prison, just one crime. And he's just as much in prison as a fellow that killed... The man that killed one person is much in on death row as a man that killed 500. Ross said, if you're going to rob a bank, you might as well rob a big one. Get you a big one. And if you're going to kill anybody, kill somebody worth killing. Don't just go out and kill somebody down the road, you know. You say, it's awful a man shoot the president. Ain't no more awful than a man to hate his neighbor. Both murder. In God's sight. I'll tell you another thing. This mediator leaves no liberty, no room for appeal. After he has passed sentence, there's nowhere to turn. Depart from me, I never knew you. We'll take one more appeal. That's appeal to what we did. We preached in your name. We'll appeal to the law. We did many wonderful works. There's no appeal. When he passes sentence, let him that's filthy be filthy still. That's it. Now, I want you to turn to the book of Ecclesiastes. I want to show you something here that is very important. You see, all of us are bothered by this and plagued with this misunderstanding. People are prone to misunderstand and misjudge the patience of God. Did you know that? The long-suffering of God. God doesn't quickly destroy an evil person. Like we would. We want swift justice. And I wish we had swifter justice in this country. A man can commit a murder and be tried 3 years later. But God doesn't quickly destroy evil men. God doesn't quickly act in judgment. And men are led to believe that he won't. That's right. They just trifle with the long-suffering of God. God's patient and long-suffering. And here are people in false religion. They just stay there. And well, one of these days I'm going to do something about this. You're presuming on the patience of God. And he is patient. We get in a certain trend of life or way of life, and God's forgiven me so far. It means he'll keep on. No, it doesn't mean he'll keep on. God's left me alone. God had stepped in and crippled me or broken me or killed me or dealt with me in judgment. Look at Ecclesiastes 8, verse 10. And so I saw the wicked buried. They had come and gone from the place of the holy. They'd been to the temple, been to the synagogue, been to the place of worship. They'd played religion all their lives. They'd played religion. And they were forgotten in the city where they'd done so. This is also vanity. Because sentence against an evil work. You said religion. Religion's an evil work. Now, wait a minute. Don't run off on me. In Matthew 7, those people said, we have preached in your name, cast out devils in your name, done many wonderful works. He said, depart from me, you workers of what? Evil, iniquity. Actually, the greatest iniquity and evil in this world is to worship a false god, or to worship God falsely, or hypocritically. That's right. An insincere worship of a god of an imagination is evil. And that's what he's talking about in verse 10. He said they've come and gone to the holy place. They've come and gone, played church, gone through all the motions. And now they've gone, and even the town where they live doesn't remember. And because God didn't step in and destroy that evil work and execute his judgment on that evil work, listen, verse 11, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. My friends, listen to me. Now get this statement. Back to the text, one mediator. There's coming a day when this one mediator will have finished his work. This one mediator will have finished his work. And he'll give up his trust. You hearing what I'm saying? And he'll cease to be a mediator in this affair. He's going to turn it over to the Father. I have finished the work thou gavest me to do. Now glorify me. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Now listen to this. This is what I'm saying, that we're prone to presume upon the patience of God. We're prone to presume upon the long-suffering of God. One day it'll be over. Listen to 1 Corinthians 15:25. He must reign until he hath put all his enemies under his feet. This one mediator. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it's manifested that he's accepted which did put all things under him. The Father is not under the Son. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, are you yet? All things are going to be. Are you yet? Subdued unto him. You didn't accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You bowed to him as Lord. That's what this world's doing. Accepting him as a co-pilot and a business partner and an equal. He said he subdued them under his feet. That's Bible language. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things unto him. That God may be all in all. But the Son's going to do it all. Get it all done. And if you're not in it, you'll be damned. That's just so. But why shouldn't we be damned? Some of us have sat and listened to this gospel for years. Why shouldn't we be damned? You're not nearly as patient with your children. Not nearly that patient, nor long-suffering. You tell them to do something, you don't tell them over twice at the most. How many times has God told you? And because execution against the work of evil is not executed speedily, we go right on. Let me give you this hastily. A mediator is not chosen unless there's a great work to be performed. And a work that cannot be performed except by him. See that? If man could do it, God would not have chosen Christ. If God could do it in his Elohim holy character, wouldn't have needed Christ. You see that? You see, sin has made such a great gulf between God and men. And God must punish the wicked. And if you want to see just a sampling, let me give you just a sampling of God's acts of judgment. Just go to the flood. 8 souls were saved. Go to Sodom and Gomorrah. Go to the destruction of Jerusalem. God will deal with sin. Think about God's continuing judgments that are unchangeable. Let me give you some that are unchangeable. You want to look at it? God's unchangeable. The angels that kept not their first estate, they're under an unchanging judgment. No alterations. Jesus Christ took not on himself the nature of angels. Adam, in the garden, there was no second opportunity for Adam. God said, eat the tree and die. He ate it, he died. It's unchangeable. He's dead spiritually. His whole race is dead spiritually. There's not any alteration of any of that. There's not one that comes along once in a while. It's not spiritual. I mean, it is spiritual. They're all ungodly. There's only one man ever born on this earth that was godly and spiritual, and a man didn't beget him. A woman bore him without the aid of a man. Do you know that? That's Jesus Christ. It's just unchangeable. You're not going to, you can fuss at it and fight it and growl at it, but it's so. I'll tell you something else. I read to you a while ago, the place of a woman. God hadn't changed that. I know the Equal Rights Amendment and so forth, and you say, preacher, you're a male chauvinist pig. That's all right. But God Almighty said back in the beginning that a husband shall be head of the home and rule over his wife, and her desire shall be to her husband, and he shall have the rule over her. That's what God said. And you know why God said it? He said it in an unchanging decree upon a woman that violated his law. You know why you women have such a hard time in childbirth? God decreed that. God said your pain will be increased in the birth of children. God decreed that. Why? Because you rebelled against him. And you ain't going to change it. You're going to hurt next one you have too. It's going to be miserable and difficult and travail. That's the unalterable decree of God Almighty. You see what I'm saying? Men, God said you're going to earn your living by the sweat of your brow. And some of you men right here are tired. Man, you've worked all week. You're tired. You traveled. And that's just the way it is and the way it's going to be. Because God said it that way. Because we sinned against him. And it's unalterable. Is that right? It's unchangeable. And God said if he won't work, don't let him eat. Don't support him. Let him die. See, God doesn't. And this is what I'm saying. I'm saying this to you. That this one mediator, God has decreed this. He has set this. And he's not going to change it. You see, the holy laws. Have I ever told you about my arrest? I got arrested one time. I mean flat arrested. You remember it, Paul? You were there, weren't you? It wasn't funny then. But I was over here at the church studying Saturday. Stayed over here all day long. We were going to have company that night for supper. And I stayed all day long studying. And my son Danny, we had two cars. Had my car and we had that old Chevrolet. What was that, 56 Chevrolet? He took that 56 Chevrolet that belonged to the boys. And he and some friends, wish I could think of that boy's name. His daddy is a big official in Ashland. He went with Danny fishing. His name will come to. I don't know why it's blotted out, but you'd know him. They all went fishing, three or four boys. And on the way back from fishing, Danny was driving. This boy, his daddy worked with you, was in the back seat, and he had a handful of BBs, Lloyd. And a car came by, and he threw them out the window and busted the windshield of that car coming by. And our boys just went on home, you know. I don't think they even knew the windshield was busted. But the owner knew it was busted, and he turned around and got my license number. My license number. Car was in my name. That night, I don't know why police wait till the dead of night to come after you. Maybe it's because God in the dead of the night's coming after sinners. But we had a house full of company. Were you there that night? You were, weren't you? We had out over in that White House, had a house full of company, you remember. But anyway, the knock at the door, I went to the door and opened the door, and there stood a policeman with a flashlight. They always got flashlights. Dark glasses, 10:30 at night. He said, "You Reverend Mayhem?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You're under arrest." I said, "I beg your pardon?" He said, "You're under arrest. There must be some mistake. You're under arrest." He said, "Come on. Go with us downtown." I said, "I'll follow you in my car." He said, "You misunderstood me." I said, "You were under arrest." I said, "What for?" He said, "Breaking a man's windshield. They got your tag number." I didn't do it. you're under arrest. You're taking them. So I went out and got in the back of that car. And you know there are no handles on the inside of those doors. There's handles on the outside, but not the inside. You can't get out. And they got that screen wire between you and the police, and they got a big shotgun up there, a big double-barrel, short-nosed shotgun. It's frightening. And we drove downtown. And the Catlettsburg police met me down in Ashland, took me to Catlettsburg. I'm in the back seat of that car all this time. And took me in to book me at Catlettsburg prison, and I said, I am not guilty. I haven't done anything. I've been in my study all day. Well, he said, not a thing we can do about it till the guilty party shows up and takes your place. And my son, by that time, did you follow him down too? But they were standing beside me, and Danny spoke up and said, the boy's name is so-and-so, and his daddy knows it, and he knows it, and I've called them, and they'll be here any time. There I stood. But that door opened, I never was so glad to see anybody in my life. That boy and his dad came in, and the boy said he didn't have anything to do with this. I did it. And that fella told me, he said, you can go home. Are you getting the picture? If the law ever gets a hold of you, you're going to stay under the judgment of that law till somebody shows up who says, I did it, he didn't do it. But you say, but I did it. Yeah, but Christ said, I did it. He didn't do it. That's right. Luke and I were standing out here by the church yesterday or Friday, and a young man came up, about 26, 27. He said, Brother Mann, I wonder if you could help me. I said, who are you? And told me his name. He said, I used to come to your house when I was a kid at Ramey home. I hadn't seen you since, about 27, 28. He said, I've written a bad check, $600. And he said, I got to come up with the money or I'm going to prison. I said, how much have you got? He said, well, got $430 left out of the $600 of the check. I said, well, we'll put up the $170. He said, I talked to the law. I said, will you call him? I said, yes. So I went in and called the law. You remember where I called, Luke was with me. I called the law and I said, Ken Adams, Sheriff's Department. I said, tell me what the story is. He said, well, he's got a felony on him. He'll have to have a hearing, but if he can come up with the money for T.N. Marshall at Piggly Wiggly, he says, it'll go easier on him. He might get a suspended sentence. He could get off. I called Piggly Wiggly, and I told him this. I said, when they bring in the 430, 13th Street Baptist Church will pay the $170. He said, do you know that boy? I said, no, sir. He said, why would you do that? I said, this church believes in giving men another shot at it, don't we? But somebody's got to come up with a payment. Somebody has. And I'm glad to say this somebody is Christ Jesus, the one mediator. I got a mediator. That's my only hope, my only plea. I got a mediator. I had a lot more to say, but I've got to let you go. But the mediator, listen to this. I've got to say this. The mediator, without him, there's no communion between God and men. Now, God won't speak to you, and you can't speak to God. That's right. Contrary to what men may think, people say, well, I talk to God. You talk to a God of your imagination. God won't hear you without Christ. No man knoweth the Father but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal. Isn't that what Scripture says? I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And then what the Word says? You don't come to God. You come to a God of your imagination. But I've had some pretty good times with him, naturally. Satan is a powerful spirit. Give you some pretty hard times and some pretty good times. I'm telling the truth. You don't come to God. There's no communion between you and God. God will not hear any man apart from Christ. Because anything we say is loaded with sin. And the Scripture says it must be perfect to be accepted. And the reason the man, Christ Jesus, is accepted is because he's a perfect man. Am I getting through what I'm saying? He's the perfect man. God hears him and hears us in him. That's why we pray in Christ's name. whatever you ask the Father in my name.
Folks, I'm just telling you what God says in the Word, and you know it's in this Word. You know what I'm saying so. Well, you're not going to tell me that I don't talk to God. You know Christ, you love Christ, you believe Christ. Is He your mediator? No, sir.
You don't talk to the living God. Well, God showed me this.
Do you know Christ,
love Christ, rest in Christ? No. Is He your mediator? God didn't say nothing to you. Pardon the English. Another God spoke to you. A God of this world called D-E-V-I-L, devil.
There's one God, one mediator. What's the mediator? In between. Who? Watch it now. Who? Must be one who is equal distance from and yet allied to both parties. Oh, catch this, please. He is so far above and from man, he is in the bosom of the Father. He's one with the Father. Yet when he became identified with us, he was so far from God, he said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And yet allied to both. One with him
and one with me. And that's how I'm going to be one with him.
That they may be one with us even as we are one. If I never preach another sermon, I'll go out with this one. That's where it is. You miss him, you miss God. You'll have a God, but you'll miss the living God. You miss Christ, you're going to miss mercy. Because it's mercy in Christ only. If you miss Christ, you're going to miss salvation. I don't care how pretty a life you try to live, how people brag on you, how high you are in your church office and affiliation and religion, you miss Christ, you're going to miss God. Because He's the one mediator. And I'll tell you what He did. This one mediator justified, glorified all the attributes of God. God's righteousness and holiness was glorified in Christ. God's justice is glorified in Christ, for He enabled God to be just and justified. God's wisdom is glorified in Christ. I've found a ransom. A way is found to bring together both justice and mercy, righteousness and peace. That's wisdom. We'd do it another way. That's our foolishness. We'd let man have the glory. That's our foolishness. God's wisdom found a way for righteousness and peace to kiss each other. And God's mercy, love, and goodness are glorified in Christ. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. God's sovereignty is glorified. Whom He foreknew, He predestinated to be conformed to the image of His Son. Whom He predestinated, He called. Whom He called, He justified. Whom He justified, He glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Glorification of His sovereignty. And in all this, His Son is glorified. Now, Father, I finished the work You gave me to do. Glorify Thy Son, that Thy Son may glorify Thee. Do you hear?
If you didn't hear it loud and clear, get the tape, please, and hear it again, because these are monumental, meaty, heavy, eternal matters. There's one God and one mediator. That's the man, Christ Jesus. All right?
All right, Mike, let's sing a closing hymn.